can't fight it. Can't fight it. I know you wanted it, and I delivered it, didn't I? Power Ballad Friday. REO Speedwagon. I can't fight this feeling anymore. I've forgotten what I started fighting for. It's time to bring this ship into the shore and throw away the oars forever. See, they don't like write lyrics like that anymore. Taylor Swift. Can't come near that.
Imagine listening to it when you are sitting in a cable car going up through Botany and I can't find this feeling anymore. Fight this feeling. It's great.
You see, you've got the imagination in your hands. Yeah. Exactly right. Love it. It'd be a lovely thing to do, though, wouldn't it? Sort of going home and just, you know, you're feeling in the mood for sort of being a little loving. And you said, my darling, I'm going to throw away the oars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what are you talking about, Ed? Get the nappies.
Get the nappies. We got the Prius. Whatever. What are you talking about, the oars?
Anyway, they released 16 albums, none of which I've heard. And they've got a street named after them in Champaign, Illinois. There you go, a little bit of REO Speedwagon. Loving some of the text coming through, because it was a very, very simple question Georgie had yesterday on the panel. I'm having a wedding. How much did yours cost? I want to know. This is so hard as planning. My wedding, we eloped from Australia, where we were living, to the Canary Islands, married at the courthouse. We were next in line after a prisoner on day release, paella for a restaurant reception, all with change out of the government GSC payout we had received of $800. Your wedding story, how much did it cost? Keep them coming, 2101. All right, time for I've Been Thinking. Cindy Michener, take it away.
Thank you, Wallace. Now, this is not my most intellectual topic, okay? So I thought about, can I really talk about this? But yes, I'm going to. Excuse me. What are the unspoken rules about behaviour in public? Legal behaviour, of course. I was in the supermarket this morning, and at the banana stand, I wanted a bunch of bananas. And I didn't want a big bunch of ripe ones or a big bunch of green ones.
Okay.
So I broke the banana bunches in half and I took half of each one. Well, you'd think I would have started World War II. This other supermarket shopper just glared at me like I was a dreadful person. And I sort of thought, is that an okay thing to do? I mean, and then I was walking down the aisle and here was somebody with their iPod buds in, talking loudly, and they were on the phone. I mean, you know, what are the sorts of things that you are allowed to do? Are there unspoken rules on supermarket behaviour? Was I able to cut the banana bunches in half?
I think it's widely accepted, and I think the listeners will back me up on this, that it's not a done thing. It's not an appropriate thing to do to break that bunch of bananas, Cindy. I mean, the bunch is there for a reason, you know.
But you've broken the chains.
It didn't have tape around it.
Doesn't matter. The way that you ripped the two bananas together. They place them there for the display. They're meant to be taken as a bunch. Here you go. randomly deciding what bananas you want to take from a bunch. It's not up
you
to
you. Broke a family.
Yeah. The thing is, Cindy, it's not up to you to decide.
Well, you know, in this day and age, I don't want all of the ripe bananas at the beginning, you know, because they'll go off. It seems perfectly sensible to me to have three green bananas and three yellow bananas.
Well, actually, just to quote, and I'm just summed up by just one of many texts, I always wondered what type of person broke bananas and tomatoes, I trust. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, they're a listener panel. They're listener panelists.
I do agree, Cindy, with you about the loud talking on the phone. I see it on the bus, and I know it's allowed, but I hate it. I don't think it should be allowed. The bus should be a quiet place.
Yep, the biggest response so far. I don't agree with Wallace. Same thing with grapes that come in bags. They're sold by the kilo, so you're allowed to take as many as you like. That's just rubbish.
Come on.
That's just rubbish, Katie.
No, I think that's what I thought.
We live in a society.
That's not acceptable. That's just stupid.
I think it is.
Wallace, it's fine. Wallace, it's fine to break up bananas. For goodness sake, many people need only a couple. Okay. All right.
Thank
very good. Very good,
Cindy.
Okay. Edamon, I've been thinking.
Oh, so I've been thinking of, Mother's Day coming soon, and I had been asked to write a short piece for my local paper in Whanga Parawa, and I did a tiny calculation about it when I was thinking about my mother, and it just dawned on me that she's at the moment 67, and if she lives to 90, and because I go to Pakistan, she's in Pakistan, every 2 years, I only have about 11, 12 times to see her. And that was the craziest thing that happened. I was crying because after the birth of my daughter, I've become a very emotional person anyway. And I realized that I got to change things because I'm, sometimes I'm ducking my mother's call when she's calling from Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell her that I'm watching Married at First Sight Australia. I'll call you later, but I'm not going to I forget about it and I get agitated about it. So I'm going to, this time, I have a resolution that I'm going to change my way of connecting to my mother because she's been a great supporter of mine through all my life.
Oh, kia ora, Ed. That's really wonderful.
Good.
It's a wonderful reminder coming into Mother's Day as well on Sunday to actually pick up that phone.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost a thing to stay in touch with your mother. I'm as guilty of that as anybody else. So thank you for reminding me as well. Kia ora, Ed. Meanwhile,
Wallace.
No, Cindy, I'm going to, sorry, this bananas thing, I've got to get on top
mother.
Of it. Yeah. No, forget that. Forget the mum thing. This bananas thing is going crazy. I have to respond to this because this is huge. Cindy should go to her local greengrocers. Everyone will smile at her there. I break bananas. It's the ethical thing to do. Wallace, I disagree with you about bananas. My 90-year-old mother would end up throwing 2/3 of the bunch away, says Karen. I'm with Cindy. But bananas are sold by weight, not bunch. Wallace, says Malcolm, same thing. I agree with your panellist, another one. It's fine to break banana bunches. If you only want a few, just don't break them off and leave them bruised. They keep on going, well, is it time for me to say I'm sorry? I'm wrong. The listeners weren't with me.
It's all right,
all.
Wallace.
Good on you, Cindy. Very good. All right, now to this on the program, the panel. Lovely to have you company, by the way. Duck hunting has been in the blood of the Winley family for generations. Sally Winley started age 8. But on February the 17th, 87, she took her last steps. A bus she was riding crashed. Sally's spine was shattered, confining her to a wheelchair. And we talked about that, didn't we, on one of her I've Been Thinkings. We obviously have some amazing outdoors in this country, but it isn't always that accessible for people in wheelchairs. But as this year's duck hunting season begins, Fish and Game have, for the first time, built a wheelchair-accessible public shooting mai-mai. Sally, who's there in a wheelchair hunting right now, is with us. Sally, great to have you here.
Thank you, Wallace. It's wonderful to be on your program. But I have to say, we stopped shooting at 6:15. That's the rules, because it gets too dark. And as a shooter, you have to always be able to identify your target. And so shooting in the dark, off. So we've just finished.
So this is the first time ever. How was the experience? Tell us.
Oh, it was really, really amazing because I've been shooting and duck shooting all my life, and friends put me in boats and put me in accessible or not accessible. They carry me into mai-mais and ponds and things. Yeah. But this one, as you said, that Fish and Game have done, that it's got a concrete walkway that goes to it. And I sit in an area, it's like a deck, and it overlooks a pond in one of the wetlands near Te Puke. And there's a corrugated iron roof, and it's like a little shed behind it, and there's an area where I can put my ammunition. And I've been sitting there since about 4:30, and I've watched so many ducks fly around and fly around and fly away and disappear. And I had one shot, but the duck was too far away. But it's really humbling to see that there's actually an accessible mai-mai, and I can go there independently and with the bloke he came to, and just I don't have to rely on anyone. And it's a beautiful spot overlooking the wetlands. And there were plenty of ducks flying around, but they were out of range. Actually, I think they were almost discriminating against me because they were all flying into ponds that were too far away for me that I couldn't get to. But aside from that, it was just perfect.
Oh, you don't have to rely on anyone. Edamon.
Sally, great to talk to you again. If you remember, we were on the panel together once.
I certainly do.
And I never knew, you never released that information that you were a duck hunting enthusiast. So it's great to imagine. But I had a very specific question come up when the topic came up. Do duck hunters have specific superstitions about the day, like sports people have, that you don't do this and you don't do that, or they are very pragmatic and realistic?
That's a good question, but I would say that duck hunters are pragmatic. Most, I mean, I'm going to stereotype here. Most of us, well, a lot of us are from rural backgrounds, and so we don't get that superstitious. However, as far as tradition goes, we have in our family that Mum used to do it, and I do it now. I make a bacon and egg pie the day before. And when I do the bacon and egg pie, I put the puff pastry on top, and with the leftover pastry, I'll cut it into the shape of some ducks and some trees and put it on top, and it comes out lovely and browned in the oven. And then after shooting, we have a lunch or a morning tea and always a lovely slab of homemade bacon and egg pie. So that's about as, I'd say, traditional
no,
or
silly. All right.
Superstitious that I get.
Cindy.
Well, hi, Sally. Look, I'm not anti-duck shooting. You know, I've been rurally involved. My daughter rode horses, et cetera, et cetera. But when I found out that paradise ducks mate for life, it made me quite sad because generally you don't get two of them with one shot. So you're actually, you know, the ducks, they never mate again. So I always felt really, really sad about duck shooting when I learnt that.
There will
How
always
does that make you feel, Sally?
Yeah, what do you think of that, Sally?
That is quite awful. Sad. However, I can have three cartridges in my shotgun. And so a lot of people who are not bad at shooting can get both of them. But if you're like
course.
Me, you get none of them. But no, I hear what you're saying. And yes, they do mate for life. So that's just the way it is. Yeah. And on the other hand, they are a bit of a pest. We used to do a lot of cropping, and it was corn and peas, and they will just motor through the paddocks when they're the seedlings and just munch away, and they're quite big. So,
Sally, I wondered about your concrete path.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Was that camouflage? I wonder if all of the ducks were going, oh, my Lord, there is a bright grey concrete path. I'm staying away because there's someone with a gun quite close.
Oh, I reckon you could be absolutely right. That might be why all these ducks I saw circling, and we were calling them in with the duck caller, trying to, and they just kept whipping over to the next pond, over the flax, over the trees. I reckon you could be absolutely spot on there. I'll have a chat with Fish and Game and see if they can do a sort of a camo service.
Yeah,
like that.
That's a good point. Okay,
Sally, I got. Before you go, what's the best way to do a duck for food?
Oh well, there are so many. How much time have you got? I love to have a traditional roast. We just pluck them and I stuff them and I put breadcrumbs and parsley and maybe some fresh apricots and garlic. Or some people just breast them because paradise ducks actually they can be pretty sort of stringy and the rest of the flesh isn't that good. So people just use the breasts and slice it up or make a casserole. And also, if we get lots, I'll take out all their livers and duck liver pate is amazing.
Yeah, it's good to use those ducks. It's a treat. I haven't had it for ages. Hey, Sally, it's great to hear you. Great to have you on the panel here. And all the best for the rest of the season. Well done on Fish and Game for putting in that wheelchair accessible Mai Mai. It is 9 away from 7. Well, it is back. It's as if it's never left. Lord of the Rings, goodness me, brace for impact. A fresh installment in the Lord of the Rings movie series, one of the biggest film franchises of all time, coming back round two. Wellington will be the production hub for the next two new Lord of the Rings films. That's right. Mark Westerby, head of attraction for Screen Wellington, said today. Any takes on this round the panel? Who's a fan or you're absolutely over it?
I'm a huge fan of Frodo and Gandalf and all that is in between. I mean, this was one of the only things that was I could see in Pakistan of New Zealand when I was in the early 2000s. And I watched my first Lord of the Ring in a illegal CD collection, which was copied into three CDs. Pirated stuff in Pakistan, not here. It's not available here. Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
When you came to New Zealand, when you landed on the Lord of the Rings land, how did you feel?
Oh, so yeah, this is the land of Mordor. So I just, I was really happy to see the land that had produced that piece
of
art.
So big tick for, the next two installments, Cindy.
I think it's fantastic for a range of reasons, and not the smallest one being the employment that it brings to our screen sector, from actors to makeup artists, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I think that is fantastic. It also showcases our country. I mean, if you remember, Top Gun was funded by the American military. The American Air Force, because it showcases.
But why can't they do a trilogy of something else? Why can't, it's done and dusted, why can't they do a trilogy of something like Came a Hot Friday?
Well, we haven't gone behind the scenes with Gollum.
Because the rest of the world, this is already, the brand is already there. The sort of money you'd have to put into building a brand, the Tolkien collection already has, millions of fans worldwide. We just don't have the resource to start from ground zero.
Now, I think
Peter and Fran are sensational.
Big ticks all around. Your thoughts on that? No, we might have to park the wedding feedback for next week. I apologise for that because there are some wonderful ones to come through because I don't want to get to this. With today's cold snap and the calls to keep our heaters off this morning, lots of us started the day a bit colder than we'd like. A simple but effective way we can help to keep our houses a bit warmer is by closing the curtains. And that's it. According to Consumer NZ, double-lined, full-length curtains can reduce the heat loss by 45%. But get this, landlords are not required by the Healthy Home Standards to install curtains and rentals, and lots don't. So to help fill the gap and help struggling families stay warm, curtain banks have popped up around the country. With us is Julie Gunn from Wellington Curtain Bank. Julie's the manager there. Kia ora, Julie.
Kia ora, Wallace.
I just thought this is a wonderful story because, it's not going to solve the problem of our energy needs, but guess what? It's actually quite an effective measure. Am I right?
Absolutely. And it's not just about staying warm. It's about promoting health, saving money, but also conserving energy. So this morning, a bit of a risk of some power cuts or something. And with those good quality curtains that you described, you can actually save energy. So it can be good for all of us.
And it keeps it in because our house in the north is like an old batch because I couldn't afford it. So it has thin walls, but it keeps the heat in if you have curtains, proper curtains. So we did invest in proper curtains when we moved in because it had previously before single lined spiderweb type thingies. But it is a fantastic idea and has to, it keeps the heat in. If you have humans inside the house, there is heat in the house, and it will keep the heat in as much as possible. You know, it's a great energy saving tool.
Before
we go
to Cindy, are you surprised, Julie, by the number of homes that do not have curtains?
It's quite incredible. Curtains and also curtain tracks, so people have nowhere to hang their curtains if they should have them. So at Sustainability Trust, we're part of a number of groups around the country. We come under the banner Curtain Call, and we really want to raise awareness about this and advocate for best practice curtains so that we can get it into the regulations, because regulations are great. Houses need to be, so rental properties need to be insulated. They need to have a source of heating, but the gap is the curtains. They don't require curtains.
Cindy, how about that?
Julie, well, you know, here's the thing. I don't have any curtains. When we did some renovations, we've got shutters and we've got blinds. And, I mean, what percentage of new builds nowadays are doing shutters and blinds? And they're not doing curtains.
But they'd have double glazing, though, wouldn't they?
Well, the new builds would have double glazing, Our old house doesn't.
Right.
I mean, it was a design thing. You know, we wanted
a clean look.
The blinds.
Julie?
We've got a lot of older housing stock right throughout Aotearoa, and they're chilly. There's a lot of cold houses. They're drafty. They're older houses. And curtains are such a great way of, as you say, keeping that heat in. You're not having your heater on for perhaps as long or turning it up quite as high. You're hopefully keeping off those winter illnesses and those other kind of things that can be really dangerous. And it's just a cosy, comfortable place to live. And too many people in Aotearoa simply don't have that, especially people renting. It's an absolute gap in the regulations, and we can do something about it.
And it's very, very easy to fix. Yeah, I can attest to this being in Dunedin. Actually, I was thinking about the story, Julie. Out of the six flats I lived in, one had curtains, and they weren't double glazed, by the way. They were thin villa style 1910 windows, and they were cold. And I'm thinking, well, why didn't I have curtains? I don't know.
Yeah, I was at uni in Palmerston North. I've lived in flats with no curtains at all. I don't know how we did it.
So what's the message, and how can you help?
Well, we want to raise awareness about this, and if people go to curtaincall.org.nz and check it out, where we want to advocate for best practice curtains. We want to get the government to change the regulations. People can also donate to their local curtain banks. They can donate good quality used curtains. They can volunteer their time. And Genesis Energy at the moment running a fundraising campaign. They're going to double donations through their Warmer Homes campaign. You can jump on our website, sustaintrust.org.nz, and check out all the other ways that we can support people to live in warm, dry homes. We also have Toast Electric, which is actually New Zealand's only not-for-profit electricity retailer.
Oh, good on you, Julie. Hey, thanks for spreading the message on what was a very, very cold snap, and we'll be tomorrow again. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And on the day that Cindy Michener talked about her bananas in the supermarket, gosh, they're still coming in, Cindy. I'll send you some. Have a great Friday. You too, Edamon. And a big thanks to Tom for producing the show. I'm Wallace Chapman. Stick around. I'm with you till 8 p.m. on RNZ National.
Call your mum.
Yeah, thanks, Wallace.
Call your mum.
See you.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.